Welcome to the show. I don't even know what the show is.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to episode 24 of Fathers of the Grind. My name is Tim Nestor. Derek Teague is my co-host. Hello, Derek.
I'm doing good. You asked that, right?
No. Derek is tired, everybody. Derek, just real quick. I know we don't want to spend too much time on this. What have you been doing all day that makes you so tired that you're not even listening to what I'm saying?
All right. Well, a lot of people think that I play soccer a lot, but I really just play with kids. And so today was the first time that I actually played in an adult soccer tournament, 3v3, and I actually wore my Fitbit and tracked that I ran 7.5 miles today, so I'm exhausted.
Wow, that's impressive. That's more than I ran. I don't think I walked that far today either, so well done.
Did you,
just overall, do you feel like you played pretty well? Were you disappointed with yourself? Were you satisfied?
I was a little nervous going into it because I was playing with a bunch of people that had been playing soccer their whole life. So I was a little nervous that I just didn't want to suck. And I got to say, I didn't suck. I actually had some good moves, good plays. We played against high schoolers, too. So that was...
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. These are kids that have been playing for about 10 or 11 years. They're all fit.
They're
all about 6 foot tall.
Prime of life. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were about 140, 160. And... It was not easy at all. They actually one match just played and toyed with us. Like they were just passing the ball around. They refused to shoot it, and it was terrible.
No, but good for you. That's congratulations on spending part of your Father's Day weekend doing something that requires so much activity. So kudos to you. Speaking of Father's Day, it is Father's Day weekend, and if you're listening to this, it's a few days after Father's Day, but it's okay to still say Happy Father's Day to you guys. If you are a dad, if you have a dad or father figure in your life, hopefully you had a chance to celebrate this weekend. I hope you guys had a good time. So, Derek, real quick, how do you guys celebrate Father's Day tomorrow? We're recording Saturday, so tomorrow's Father's Day. Do you know of any plans? Do you go out to eat? Do the kids all, sing a song in your honor? What's the story?
Usually I wake up to some surprises from my kids, like, drawings and stuff that they make for me. And then we head to church, and then it's pretty much it. I mean, we don't really do much on Father's Day. I think it's because my wife knows I like the game, so she'll probably just let me game most of the
day. Give you some time. Yeah, my wife's kind of the same way. A lot of times it's, all right, we'll just sleep in with no strings attached kind of a thing. Or, even like today, we finally got a grill, which is nice. It's nice to have a gas grill again. And so my wife got steaks and she got baked potatoes, some corn on the cob that we grilled, some corn on the cob on the grill as well. It was really great. So that tonight was kind of our homemade Father's Day dinner. And I think tomorrow we're planning to all go out somewhere to eat. Not sure where yet. So
yeah, I mean, we'll probably do something out or like we'll go and hang out with my parents and they'll barbecue or something like that.
Yeah, well, the way I like to celebrate Father's Day is the opposite of what you described was your day today, and that is not to run. As little physical exertion as possible is the best way to celebrate Father's Day.
Well, and to be fair, if it was just like running a 5K or a 10K just for the heck of it, I would have said no. But playing soccer, which I really do enjoy, it's definitely worth it.
Speaking of running, real quick, a coworker of mine, one of my new coworkers here, he just ran a 10K trail run. So he was up in Vail, Colorado area, and was running this incline. I think he said it was a total change of 1,700 feet over the course of that 10K. That sounds insane. So yeah, none of that sounds good to me, but kudos to him. All right, so I put the question out there to you, the community, and asked, who's your favorite dad character in video games? And there's been some good ones. That doesn't mean that they have to be a good dad or even a good father figure. A lot of times in games you'll have, for example, one of the popular picks, someone like Joel from The Last of Us, and he plays a great father figure in that game, and so he was one of the top picks. But sometimes it's an actual dad who is a great example, and a lot of times in games, just like in movies, especially Disney movies, the dad somehow dies off at some point. A lot of cases, or perhaps the dad is somehow the villain, and we get to see a bad dad example. So there's lots of interesting father characters portrayed in video games. So I went ahead and posed the question to our group on Facebook, which, by the way, if you're not part of that, please join it. And got a lot of responses. Like I said, Joel was predictably one of the most popular ones, Joel from The Last of Us. Just throw out a few other ones here. Kyle Neely throws out Big Boss, and he specifically highlights a big hug that happens at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, which I haven't played, so I assume that's a good moment. let's see. We got Joel. Oh, here's a good one from Mark Allen. We're going to give Mark a shout-out here in a second, too. But he picks Barrett from Final Fantasy VII. I never really thought of him as a father figure, but he is a little bit protective in some ways, I suppose. Maybe I'm forgetting the story there. But
he's a little dramatic, is what he is.
He's a little dramatic. He does kind of fly off the handle. Yeah, so dad, there you go. Yeah. John Martin has a great couple of picks here. One of them is Lee from The Walking Dead, and Lee was a great character who forms a wonderful relationship with Clementine, and they really make you, the player, feel like a dad trying to a combo of shield your kid or the kid you're taking care of from this world, as well as prepare them for the difficulties of the world. It's a great job with that character. I don't want to take too much time looking through this, but I want to make sure I don't miss any. Oran from Final Fantasy X was picked a couple of times. He's not very good at Blitzball, right?
Yeah.
but yeah, he was definitely prominent in the story with Titus there. I think that's basically it. I'll throw out a few too. We got John Marston from Red Dead Redemption. He's a very interesting dad character because he hasn't really been around a lot, and there's some big moments at the end of the game that make his relationship with his son pretty unique. And here's one last one I'll bring up. We have Kratos, the new and improved bearded, apparently living in Scandinavia somewhere, Kratos.
Yeah.
And that. We'll talk about E3 here in a bit, but Sony's trailer for the new God of War game introduced us to a new Kratos who was... There was no doubt who he was. He was still bald, still had the kind of red and ash-colored skin, and it still sounded a lot like him, even though I think it's a different voice actor. But
it is a different voice actor.
The entire trailer was him and presumably his actual son, if not his, you know, some kid he's raising, but him and a young boy who calls him father... and he's kind of training him on this hunt through the woods, and so that was a really cool moment there to see.
Yeah,
that.
I'm definitely gonna. I'm not gonna do it now, but I'm definitely gonna talk about God of War and some of the confusion I had when I first started seeing that. But yeah, I'll definitely touch on that.
Yeah, so that, I'm hoping that that's a as good of a relationship as the trailer seemed to hint at. There was a cool moment there where Kratos starts to build up into his really silly, you know, just yelling, anger, rage mode, and he kind of backs down and calmly tells the kid what to do. And I thought that was really cool. It's a restrained Kratos, so that's cool. One bad example, Handsome Jack. Yeah, he's a terrible father if you've played those Borderlands games. And Geralt and Ciri from The Witcher games. That's a great father, kind of like a daughter relationship there too with Geralt, so... Yeah, there's been a lot of dads in video games. Some are good, some not so good. But speaking of our community, I wanted to give a few shout-outs, and I know you want to make sure you highlight one too, Derek, but I want to kick things off by talking about our buddy Mark Allen. He's a listener to the show. He's an active member of our group, but he also has started up his own YouTube channel. And if you want to check out what Mark's doing, it's called Mini Dewey Gaming. That's spelled M-I-N-I-D-O-O-E-Y Gaming. Mini Dewey Gaming. He just got started. He's got a few videos up right now, primarily talking about Final Fantasy. I think he does some E3 recap videos I've seen him put up recently. Here's the bottom line. If you like video games, particularly Final Fantasy, but really all video games, and if you like solid, manly Scottish accents, this is the channel for you. So go check out Mark's channel. I'll be sure to link to it in the show notes as well. So let's go give Mark some support, you guys. And,
I'm just subscribing now, actually.
Nice. So, Mini Dewey Gaming. So, go check out Mark. And also, we've got another member who is getting going on YouTube and seeing some success. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm not going to call him my good buddy, actually. I would call him my rival. But John Martin, the evil villain that he is, has started up what I think is pretty cool. First of all, let me just start off, and I won't take too long, but I do want to give a little intro into how cool I think this was. I'm friends with John on Facebook, and he kept posting, like, pictures of his meals. Him and his wife, Sammy, would cook these awesome meals, and they would take pictures of them and post them, and all of us would just, like, basically lust over his
food. They looked like menu screenshots. They look amazing.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to a restaurant every night.
Yep.
So anyways, he's now decided, and it's already started, his own cooking show. So it's a family cooking show. It's actually called Ariana's House. So if you go to Facebook and you type in Ariana's House, which is A-R-I-A-N-N-A-S, House. I'm not spelling house for you. if you go there, you can like his page. Also, he has a YouTube channel. So check that out under the same name. And it's a family cooking show. They have a lot of great recipes. He made shrimp tacos the other day. I wanted them really, really bad. But a shout out to John Martin, awesome chef. I'm going to meet him one day, and after we punch each other, I'm going to make him cook me some shrimp tacos.
I think that's fair, after we punch each other. Hey, Derek, boom. Hey, John, boom.
Oh, I know that's exactly what we'll do.
So I'm going to go on YouTube right now and subscribe. I just want to make sure that this is exactly the way to find it. Because I was thinking, if you search for Ariana's House, yeah, you're going to find Ariana Grande house tour videos.
Well, that sounds perfect. That's exactly where I wanted you to go.
So you're going to want to make sure you find the right channel.
So basically, John, I tried to get you some new likes and subscribers, but really I was just leading people astray. I was leading him to Ariana Grande.
Well, I'm going to find it at some point, but we will come
back. Yeah, if you find it later, just I'm on his Facebook page, but if you find his YouTube channel, then you can tell it later.
Okay. All right, cool. And you know what? We'll make sure to link to that in the show notes as well, so you guys won't have to search for it yourselves. Just look in our show notes for this episode, and we'll have links to both of those. No problem.
Yep.
All right, cool. So one last thing. The community has been great the last couple of weeks, not only with creating their own content and in carrying on conversations in the group. So I want to thank guys like Thomas and James, both James, actually, and Jesse and many others. I can't name all of them, who have started some great conversations. And Sasan, who's trying to rile people up with his conversations. Love it. I love the conversations that are going in our group. So keep that going, you guys. But also, one of our community members reached out to me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I've got a copy of this game that you guys can give away on your show. And I thought, this is fantastic. I love this idea. So I want to give a special shout out to Manuel Sandoval for this code for a copy of Paragon. And it would actually work for either PS4 or PC. So when you put this code in, you can use it for either platform.
So your preference is. Tim, you decide to take this code and try to give it to our listeners when I would actually want the code.
Yeah, that's exactly what I decided. I didn't even ask you.
Hashtag D-bag.
Listen, it's for the community, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, the 2.4365 listeners don't give a crap.
Listen, if any of you follow Derek's posts on the page, you know that he buys enough games. He doesn't need this code. But you might need this code. So here's how you could, you know, have a shot at getting this code. What I want you to do is share this episode on either Facebook or on Twitter and use the hashtag Fathers of the Grind. So just hashtag, no spaces, Fathers of the Grind. And I'll check out that hashtag by the end of the week. And on June 24th, I'll draw names out of a hat, and we'll send the code to you if you're selected. So share the show. We should be doing that anyway, you guys. Come on, share the show with your friends. We want to grow the community. But if you want a copy of this game for free, if you want a chance to win it, share the show and make sure that you hashtag Fathers of the Grind. And that actually reminds me, one more quick thank you to one of our community members, and that is Jose Jimenez, who shares our show every single week. He's always hitting share, and he's sharing it with his friends on Facebook. So thank you, Jose. And this time when you share it this week, make sure you just hashtag Fathers of the Grind. I'll make sure to enter your name in it, though, too, there, Jose. So, all right. That's a lot. We've covered a lot already, but we need to get into some serious discussion about E3. So, This is the week after E3. We've had a very busy week. There's been tons of news. It's hard to keep up with all of it. The best we can usually do is track the major announcements from the press conferences. So what I wanted to do is just kind of allow you and I to talk through what we thought of the press conferences or the announcements, some of the gameplay impressions that have been coming out from some outlets, and maybe even you guys, you community that are listening, I want you to comment on here too and let us know, what did you think? And I know it's easy to just say who won, quote unquote, won E3. I think the conversation should be a little deeper than that. I want to find out, how does Sony compare to past Sony conferences and Microsoft to past... That, to me, is more interesting than just who won, because they're very different in how they delivered stuff. So, anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk about press conferences. What did you think overall of the various presentations this year? And
What I was shocked about the most was... I felt like PopCap came out and just nailed it.
PopCap?
PopCap.
I must have missed that show.
Huh. How? It was an amazing press conference. They just nailed it with all their big AAA titles. No, this is, of course, Tim writing in my notes.
I'm filling the notes for Derek as I create the show notes, and so I just put PopCap for his favorite.
Well, at least it wasn't like Barbie's like clubhouse or conference or something like that. So, which was my favorite? Let me first start off, and again, I'll probably say some of this stuff later on. I thought most shows were really good, and this has probably been one of my favorite E3s. I can't even remember the last time I could even think of an E3 that's been better than this one, to be honest with you. And not just because it's fresh. I've got a pretty good memory. The way this E3 made me feel, especially coming into it not hyped at all, somebody posted... I want to say it was Austin posted that he wasn't hyped for E3, and I was the first person to comment on it, and I said, same here. Like, I had no hype going into it for some reason. But I ended up walking away, and my favorite conference was Sony's. And let me say this, and again, some people are going to have problems with this. Some people will read into it and say, well, you're a Sony pony, but anybody who knows me knows that's far from the truth. Last year, I felt like Microsoft had the best conference, even though a lot of people said Sony did. This year, we said this last week on the show, or I said it. I said that Sony was a mystery to me. Like, I usually am pretty solid at predictions just because I kind of chip away and deduct things that I don't think will be there, and then it finally leads me to a prediction. And with Sony, I was like, I really don't know what they're going to show. Like, sure, they're going to announce The Last Guardian for fall, but what else do they have? And we know God of War was coming, but what they showed, now I can jump into God of War a little bit. God of War just completely threw me.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting...
Yep, all of us, I think, yeah.
I was expecting a fifth God of War game that was basically the same that we've had with the previous four, but just prettier, you know, and that they were going to try to drive maybe like VR with it. Like, hey, check out how cool this looks when you're up close, or something like that. Yeah. And they didn't do that. They introed the show with God of War, and, it blew my mind. Now I said, and I think it was last week's show or maybe a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about the PS2, I said God of War and God of War 2 were two of my favorite games. Mm-hmm. That being said, God of War 3, I struggled to get through that. I didn't enjoy it, and I think it's just, again, I don't think it's because it was a bad game. I think it was just because I was like, I'm over God of War. Yeah. And I didn't even finish God of War Ascension. I played a little bit of it.
I've never played that one.
Yeah, I enjoyed what I played, but it wasn't like... enough to get me to play through it.
Okay.
Like, I beat the other three. That one I didn't even bother to finish.
Okay.
So anyways, my point is for them to intro with that game that probably wouldn't have hyped me normally, but then show me something that almost was like God of War / The Last of Us.
Right.
Completely hyped me.
You know what was really cool was the way that trailer started. It was brilliantly done.
It
opens up with this young boy kind of in what looks like a hut of some kind. And he's got reddish colored hair. And I think it's a boy. And then for a moment I thought, oh, maybe that's actually a girl with just her hair cut real short. Because he was young enough. Could have been a girl, I guess. And I thought we're looking at a Horizon trailer. That's what I thought.
Could have been.
And
yeah.
And then of course out from the shadows steps Kratos, and he's got a big old beard, and he's got a bunch more leather type straps on him because he's kind of a hunter now. He's got a big axe strapped to his back. That was awesome. What a cool introduction.
By the music, I did think it was God of War.
Did you? Okay, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, by the music, I felt like it was a God of War. And then when they introed it and showed, like, the kid and stuff like that. And then when Kratos came out, here's what I was thinking. Oh, they're gonna change it. Like, Kratos is done. And even though you're going, well, Derek, why would you say that? His makeup is Kratos. I thought by the voice actor and the way he looked different, I was like, this is probably another God of War. Like, somebody else in another, like, universe or something like that. So that was just my initial impression. I was like, oh, they're going to really do this, like, Viking-type God of War game, and they've moved on from Kratos.
Well, I think it's the same guy.
Yeah, but it is Kratos, but they did redo his voice. They got a new voice actor. They've set a completely different tone. The combat looks like, it looks like, almost like a Dark Souls. Like, they're not going to throw 50,000, and I could be wrong, again, this is just one little demo. They're not going to throw 50,000 enemies at you, they're going to throw a couple at you at most, and they're going to make you...
Well,
they're going to make every encounter...
Scene,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The way the camera was... focused, it was like a third person perspective from the side, gave me like a Dark Souls vibe to it.
And how about that moment when he pulls a Thor move and pulls that axe back to him? That was pretty awesome. Yeah. After throwing it, that was cool. Speaking of music,
intro,
you mentioned the music. I thought that Sony kicked off their show right before the God of War trailer kicked things off. They have a live orchestra down there being directed by Bear McCreary, the very popular and much sought after composer. He's done music for popular TV shows like The Walking Dead and Black Sails, and apparently he's doing the soundtrack for the new God of War game. And what a huge win for Sony with getting that guy. He's really great at setting the mood with music, and I thought it sounded so epic. I didn't necessarily recognize a theme, so if there was a God of War theme, even though I've played the few games, I didn't recognize
it. It was new music. It was just the vibe from it, and then going into it, knowing God of War was going to be one of their big games, it was me just going, this is probably God of War.
I just thought it was great. I mean, I was part of a group chat for a little while for the other shows, and when that started, everyone kept talking. I kept getting notifications. I ended up just leaving the group chat, so if you were part of that, it had nothing to do with any of you. I wanted to just soak in the music. I had my headphones in. I was just really enjoying it. I thought that was a great way to start it. I liked when, I think Nintendo did that some years ago too with Zelda music, but anyway, I loved that. I thought that was great, and God of War looks to be a huge step forward for the franchise. I picked up on little pieces of Tomb Raider, maybe even with gaining skills as, you know, some kind of tracking skill, and there was another type of skill that he gained. I forget what it was. Maybe it was some kind of hunting thing. I forget what it was. But it was giving you points in some sort of category. And I think it was purposeful that they gave us a glimpse of that during that gameplay preview. They could have removed that from the HUD for the preview.
No, they wanted you to know.
They wanted us to know that this is a much deeper system than simply collecting red orbs and then plugging those into a weapon set or something like that. So I think we're going to be in for a huge step forward with the franchise. I simply hope that it still maintains that adrenaline-pumping fun that the other games have. As much as they are shallow in their own right, and they did become repetitive, they are a blast to play. I mean, they are brilliantly designed action games. And so I hope, and from that fight, it looks like it's going to maintain some of that excitement. So God of War looks absolutely, to use your word, phenomenal. It really does. It looks phenomenal.
Yeah, and so we're technically talking about Sony's entire conference, but we're hooked on God of War.
But by the way, spoiler, I totally agree with you. Sony was, to me, the best
presentation. You and I both agree, except for the whole PopCap.
Except for PopCap. I missed that one, believe it or not. Yeah, I didn't see that one.
But Sony just, they just kept hitting us. Like, you know, and I don't have the whole thing memorized. I can only think of, you know, four or five games that just blew me away. But my point is, and I won't go into details right now because most of our listeners, they watch the shows. But the thing, and the reason why I say, not only did Sony have the best conference this year for me personally, I think it's the best conference I've ever seen. Now, I'm not going to say
it might be.
I've, I'm not going to say that I've watched E3 every year for the last 20 years or since it existed or whatever. But I have paid attention to E3 for a long time. And this is the one conference that literally got me psyched. Like, I was like, I want to play that. I want to play that. And so they just kept hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. And I know several of our listeners and friends were saying, I kept waiting for Sony to do, like, some dumb thing. Like, something that would be boring.
Like Wonder Book.
Like a Powers presentation or Wonder Book. I kept waiting for that. And so did I, honestly. I kept waiting, and they didn't do it. They had a couple of things where I was like, I'm not interested in this. But they were, like, 30 seconds long. It's like they knew, hey, we're going to throw this out there for those five people that care, but we know most of you here don't care. We're moving on.
Right.
So I felt like their pacing and just how deliberate they were. The show was only 1 hour and 10 minutes, so it was very, very minimal talking and was all about games, and I thought they nailed it.
We'll talk about games that we're most and possibly least hyped for in a little bit, but I don't know that the overall game count from Sony is all that much bigger than, for me personally, than the game count for Microsoft in terms of software that I'm excited about. It was... There are a few more. I think Sony does have a few more in their pocket.
I would agree. Right. I get what you're saying. I think then the question goes, well, then why were you so excited about Sony?
Well,
because Microsoft hit us. Well, that. But also, Microsoft hit us with a lot of games we already knew about.
That's
Sony
true.
Caught me off guard.
That's true.
Like, did you know Spider-Man was coming? And did you know Insomniac was doing it?
Nope.
Now, remember last week I did say Insomniac was going to do a Sony exclusive.
You did
I
say
called that.
Yep.
I had no clue it was Spider-Man.
I think a lot of people thought that, and this is based off of
Sucker
other
Punch
podcast shows
kinda,
too. Yeah, Sucker Punch seemed to be a great fit because of their infamous pedigree. But what I was going to say was not only I do feel like the game counts aren't that much off, but yeah, Sony had more surprises. But even without the surprises, the way that Sony came out, and it was this elegant theater setting, it was one main stage with this beautiful big screen and a live orchestra, and it's not that I felt overwhelmed by game after game. It's the way each one kept popping up. And they didn't bring up a ton of developers or a ton of PR people to talk to us. It was one or two guys. They brought up Sean Layton, right? They brought up Andrew House, who introduced Kojima at one point. Did they bring up anybody else?
No, they eliminated most of their normal
speakers. And I thought that was brilliant because EA, Bethesda, Microsoft, even Nintendo, they spent a ton of time interviewing developers and PR-type people. And that's effective to a certain extent. But the reason that we, as hardcore gaming fans, were excited about Sony was because we didn't have to deal with all of that kind of marketing talk where we're checking our phones and checking other websites while they talk. We couldn't look away. That's what Sony did that was brilliant. They created a show that did not allow you to look away for a second. So for the entire hour and 20 minutes or whatever it was, you couldn't look away. And
it's the only conference that I would go back and watch again just because I enjoyed
it. Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah,
so I agree. It might have been one of the best ones. And again, not even just in terms of games, because I think there were bigger zingers in the past and bigger surprises. But there was something about the presentation that made it incredibly watchable, very exciting. And it built up the right amount of hype for games that are actually on the horizon, as opposed to just talking about, for example, with Microsoft, this big Scorpio tech. We'll get to that in a minute. That works for some. It doesn't work for everybody. So certain things that Microsoft chose to do landed in some camps, didn't land in others. I feel like the way Sony did it, I don't know how anyone watching that, if they own a Sony console, wasn't excited. At least a little bit.
Yeah, and the only people that would get upset about it would be fanboys of other consoles.
Exactly, yeah. So,
all right, so Sony's our favorite.
Sony
was
great.
What was your biggest disappointment as far as conferences go?
In this case, at Direct.
It's not really a conference.
So Nintendo, but here's why. I was really hoping that this was the year that Nintendo was finally going to be, you know, come out swinging. And yeah, we told you it's just Zelda, but guess what? There's more than that. And they were going to surprise us with 1-2 punch of this game and that game, and they were going to just hit it. And I was hoping for a surprise, even though the realistic side of me was saying, no, they told you what you're going to get. And that's kind of what
they... Yeah, you get what you are told by Nintendo.
That's kind of what they delivered. Now, to be fair, to be very, very clear, I'm not saying that what I saw of Zelda or what I've heard from the gameplay reactions of Zelda is so-so and just on par and nothing great. I've heard nothing but amazing things about the gameplay experience of Zelda, and what I saw with my eyes and all the trailers looks absolutely amazing. And so Zelda does look stellar, and I think that's a valid game that every Nintendo fan, and including myself, should be excited about. I was just hoping that there would be some sign of life that Nintendo isn't quitting yet. And it just seems like, it almost feels like Nintendo's a small company who can't handle too much at once. That's the vibe I'm getting from them.
Yeah, is that they're how I feel.
Which is weird because they're one of the, one of the biggest, most profitable companies. I'm confused sometimes as to why their output is so limited. But that being said,
they have like one department working on one thing, and that's all they can handle.
Exactly, and that's why this was more disappointing. I wouldn't say it was bad. If I had to go just strictly based on bad, it would be the same thing as the one you're going to pick. But I was just disappointed because I was hoping for that surprise, that, oh my goodness, Nintendo's back. I'm so excited. And it just didn't happen. So.
Yeah, and I would agree. Nintendo was, in fact, I didn't even watch most of it. Especially when they got the Pokemon, I was
they just kept talking. Yeah, they just kept talking.
Yeah, I left. So Nintendo was, I wouldn't say biggest disappointment, just because I had no expectations.
Okay.
EA, even though I shouldn't really have this, have expectations for them, they are one of my favorite publishers, and so there's always like a part of me that gets a little hyped, like that part of you that goes, "Hey, what if EA comes out
Kotor 3.
And drop? Yeah, what if they just come out and tell us that they're either remastering the Knights of the Old Republic games, or maybe even just the first one because that's a BioWare game,
Or even just revealed their new Star Wars game, or something,
or something with Jade Empire, or show us something of Mass Effect that I actually care about, anything like that. And I'll be honest, I went and played soccer the day EA was on. So I only got to see, like, the first 30 minutes, but I was bored to death. So when I got back from soccer, before Bethesda went on, I went and checked, you know, all the sites to see what the major highlights. I'm like, what did I miss? What did I miss? And there was nothing. I missed nothing.
Well, we gotta give credit where credit is due. It's hashtag Jesse was right. I mean, he called it that EA would spend too much time. And they did, again, talk a lot about their sports games. That's not all they talked about, but he was right. They spent a little too much time, I think, again, talking about games that anyone and everyone in attendance and watching online is already 100% aware of your sports lineup. And I don't think they needed to do that.
Here's the thing. There's two things here. Either most of the people that buy your sports games don't even care about E3 because they're probably some casual gamer that buys Call of Duty and FIFA or Madden or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or everybody that's watching the show is well aware of your sports titles and is either completely sold on them already. That would be somebody like me. There's nothing you're going to advertise about Madden that's going to make me buy it. I'm done with Madden at least for a while. FIFA, I'm on board. You know, that type of stuff, I don't need to even see anything new. Even though they showed something pretty cool off about FIFA, you know, the single player story type mode.
Yep.
You could definitely show that, but then move on. They kept, like, switching back to, like, special guests and...
It's too much.
And this and that. Yeah, and I was like, this is stupid.
You know,
so anyways,
the only
EA
thing
was
that about,
my biggest
disappointment. The only thing about EA Sports that would have... You know, just made me sit up and my eyes get big and be and just like cheer out loud would have been a return of NCAA football. We've talked about that already, but a return of NCAA football somehow, I don't know how, but somehow working that deal with NCAA to give us another college football game, that would have been newsworthy, and I would have loved them talking about that all they wanted to. You know, dig into it. Tell us what we're going to see. What's the recruiting system like? How does it work? Is it real players? Are they all made up? How's it working? I would have loved to see all that, but they didn't. So, yeah, EA, to me, was kind of, again, same as Nintendo, I suppose. It's exactly what I expected, but for some reason, with Nintendo in particular, I was hoping for more. Yeah, yeah. So, but all that being said, I think your statement earlier about how this is one of the best overall E3s, even with the disappointing, you know, the lack of news, really, I mean, just think about it. There's not really much that was, wow, that was a disaster. This price point was bad, or this decision was horrible. There's a few things we'll talk about at the end that are concerning to us, but I don't think there was anything that was just flat out bad. Like when, you know, the Xbox One reveal, of course, is a classic, or the PS3 reveal, you know, go ahead and get a second job to afford it type of statements that were coming out of E3 were awful. Some of them, and the announcement of the Wii U was hit or miss in a lot of ways. And, you know, a lot of people were surprised, including me, that they stuck with that branding and showed off what looked like an upgraded controller with an existing Wii machine. It was very confusing. So there's been some major missteps by companies, and I don't think any of that happened this year. So overall, I think your statement might be pretty accurate that it was a very high quality E3 from start to finish, just from what we saw, at least.
Yeah.
So what was your biggest surprise, though? We talked about things that we liked the most. You kind of hinted at this already, but what specifically, maybe in general, what was the biggest surprise, but also specifically, whether it's a specific game or a unique announcement, what surprised you the most?
I think it was Sony's lineup of games that they showed me. Again, going into the show, I said it was a mystery, and the main thing that I was expecting to see was Gran Turismo. They didn't even show that, because they were just like, we don't have time. Everybody knows it's coming, we don't even need to show it. They showed like a little like video of a bunch of their games, and Gran Turismo was one of them. It was like a quick hitter.
Yeah, which is weird, because it's dropping in like 5 months.
Or the conference,
yeah.
I should say.
That's weird.
Yeah, so it's one of their major fall releases. And mm-hmm. I think it's one of their big like VR games that they're like, hey, we got VR coming, Gran Turismo is a VR game. The other thing is I expected the last Guardian, right?
The Last Guardian.
I expected that to show up and have a fall release. It did. But beyond that, I had... and God of War was going to be there. But again, we talked about this earlier, so I won't hit on it too much. What God of War was compared to what I thought it was blew my mind.
Okay.
Then they throw out Insomniac, which, you know, I expected Insomniac.
Which, by the way,
let's
just be honest, Spider-Man looks super cool. It looks awesome.
And they said that was all gameplay. Like,
it looks so fun. I can't wait for that.
That's what the game's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So Insomniac's making a Spider-Man game. Mm-hmm. You've got Days Gone by Sony Ben.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which was a name change, right? Wasn't there rumors of a different name and then Days Gone?
Yeah, it's like Dead by Night or something like that.
Dead Don't Run.
Yeah, Dead Don't Run.
Is that it?
Dead Don't Run? Okay. Yeah, that was it. Dead Don't Run. Or Dead Don't Ride. Yeah, because I think
you know what?
Because
it was the motorcycle gang thing, and that's still going to be a theme. And that's it. It was Dead Don't Ride.
All right,
okay.
So Days Gone was shown. Yeah. Well, we eventually got to it. The two listeners are like, seriously, guys, move on.
It's Father's Day, guys. Give us a break.
Yeah. So Days Gone looked good. Definitely had the only thing I was a little concerned with, this isn't a huge deal, especially since I'm a Last of Us fanboy. Some of the games look like they were like, hey, let's just make a new IP that looks like The Last of Us.
Yeah.
So I got that vibe with Days Gone. I got a little bit of that vibe from God of War. But those were some major games that not only looked good, but surprised me.
Okay.
And then, what else did they have? I feel like there was another game. Oh, they showed Horizon. Now, I'm not being negative just because everybody else is praising the hell out of this game.
Yes,
but
you
let me
are.
State
you're a
something.
Unique. You're a unique butterfly. You want to.
But let me state something that I actually haven't posted on Facebook, but I've been thinking about it. Just because I knew people would take it out of context and I would get land blasted for no reason.
You probably will anyway, but go ahead.
The Killzone franchise did not have a great story. Okay.
Agreed.
They had nice worlds. They had decent mechanics. They're fun games to me to play, except Shadowfall. That was crap.
The original story had some interesting moments, though. That's the only counter I'll have to that, because it was kind of a unique take. But you're right. Overall, Killzone is not known for its strong
It was work. Not a Halo killer like they branded
okay,
it.
Okay, and just for reference for anyone listening, in case you don't know, he's talking about Killzone because they are the same developers who are making Horizon.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Horizon's being made by the same developer. Now, Guerrilla Games has gone out and hired people that maybe they realized this was a weakness, and they're like, look, we want to make this open-world RPG game with a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've gone out and hired people. So, yes, I get why people would be, like, hyped, because the game looks fun to play.
Yes, it does.
Looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I absolutely am sold on the world and the creatures that live in the world being robotic and electronic.
Yep. Very cool.
Even though it's set in almost like a Far Cry Primal,
I know, it looks so awesome. Yeah, yeah.
It really does. But one of the things that I was watching, I was like, I'm kind of turned off by this, was the interactions between the main character and like the side character. I'm like, this looks like PS3 interactions, like the way they were talking to each other and the animations. I was turned off by it.
I agree with that. The facial animations didn't look amazing. I'll agree with
and
that.
And that concerns me because that is, to me, going to be what I guarantee. I'm going to sit there and listen to these like awkward, dumb conversations, and I'm going to be like, they screwed up the story again, or they screwed up the interactions, which will kind of take you out of, you know, out of the game. Like, you're not
Don't people who love Fallout games love those games for their story and their character interactions, and yet their facial animations are terrifying? They're really not great.
See, I love Fallout for the gameplay. So it's not like I'm going to be like, Horizon's trash. Like, I'll probably play Horizon. I know I'll play
You'll
Horizon.
You'll have access to it.
And Sony will give you access. Sony gave me a copy because I'm such a big-time reviewer.
Yeah.
But I will play it, and I will probably absolutely love it. Because I did love Killzone 2 and 3. I love those games. Hmm. I will probably love this game as far as from a gameplay. My concern, this is all I'm bringing up, is instead of hyping this game as the next amazing game, is nail the story, nail the character interactions, nail the conversation wheel, all that. That just felt awkward to me. And the game's not that far out. I think they're done with that type of stuff. So that kind of scares me. Mm. But again, that's just my only little gripe that I saw nobody else mention.
Well, I mean, it's not coming out till February. I wonder if they do have time to tweak some of the facial...
I don't know. I think that stuff's done. I think what they would be working on is making sure there's no bugs and that everything runs.
Yeah, maybe even just building out the world a little bit, too. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anyways.
That's a valid concern, though. I did notice that. And as someone who is completely blinded by hype for this game, I still noticed it, that the facial animations weren't quite there. But that's where I recognized it was a guerrilla game. It actually kind of reminded me of in Killzone Shadowfall when you're, you know, when it's zooming in on the faces, they're talking. It didn't look, the technology looks very similar. So it's not awful, but if you've played Shadowfall, you know, it's also not amazing. So I'm hoping that the quality of the character development and story kind of overrules any technical shortcomings.
And it definitely could. It could. I
hope so. Or just the gameplay being fun. I mean, think of something like Shadow of Mordor, which has come up in the group recently. So fun to play with a great nemesis system. To me, that totally overrules the fact that the characters are super shallow and the story is as forgettable as a video game story could be.
Yeah, I was waiting for a certain somebody to buy that digital so I had access on my PS4. But
who would that be?
He went cheap. Some cheap guy who lives in
Colorado. Is that Sony too? Sony's giving you access to that too?
Sony lives in Colorado and is a cheap guy.
Come on, Kaz. Get on it.
Also, I will say this, biggest surprise, I gotta say, would have to be from Microsoft, would be the announcement of Scorpio. Now, I'm gonna talk about this later, because I have a strong opinion about it.
Yes, you do.
But I will say it was the biggest surprise, but it wasn't necessarily a surprise that I... enjoy.
Oh, you're
but
teasing
we'll
it.
Talk about
you're
that
teasing.
Later.
You're, okay. All right. That's good.
Stay tuned, listeners.
Of my bigger surprises we've already covered. But one of them, of course, was God of War, like you already talked about, and we've already kind of gushed a little bit over how cool God of War looks like it's going to be. Spider-Man caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting them to announce Spider-Man at all. Number one, even though there's been rumors about a Sucker Punch game, and if they did, I would have thought it would have been Sucker Punch. Or perhaps even another studio we weren't expecting. Insomniac making Spider-Man as a PS4 exclusive, those things combined as one big announcement, was all a surprise to me and a very pleasant one, because I think Insomniac makes really fun games. So I am very excited for that. Those were both very positive surprises. And the one negative surprise, I would say, is I was a little surprised, and I guess you can call it disappointed, but I was surprised that Microsoft stuck to the old format of their conference. So the stage kind of looked the same as it has for the last few years with multiple, multiple tiers, and then you've got the very green and black kind of look to everything. And then, you know, Phil Spencer came out and talked, and then they had all their other, you know, major guys come out and talk, and they had their developers come out and share about the game and have awkward interactions while they went through their Minecraft thing. And so I was...
Final Fantasy 15 was
the
pretty
The Final Fantasy 15 interaction was really tough to watch. So here's the thing. I'm not saying that Microsoft made a bad decision. I just think compared to the way Nintendo has adjusted their presentation to being not staged, and I think that's very smart on their part. They're trying to really hit their audience without trying to waste money, time, and people on a presentation. And so I think that was that's pretty smart of them, although I do kind of miss the big Nintendo shows. And Sony went with a very modern, updated, let's rethink the way we do this type of a show, and it paid off big time. And Microsoft, to me, it almost seems like they took the template from the last several years of shows and just plugged in new content to it. That's just what it felt like. So that was a surprise to me, and here's why it's a surprise. I feel like Microsoft has turned a huge corner since the Xbox One announcement debacle. And even though PS4 is outpacing them, people are still buying the system. I own one, and I like it a lot. I like my Xbox One a lot. And I've liked the way I like the way that Phil Spencer and the Microsoft team have been handling themselves and making games and been communicating and not afraid to engage concerns and criticisms and competition. And I love that right now about Microsoft. I think they're on a really good page with gamers right now. So that's why I was surprised that they didn't decide, let's throw out the old formula and do something a little different. And I don't even want them to do it like Sony did it. I think Sony did their thing with a Sony flavor. I would have liked to see Microsoft do something with their own flavor. But anyway, I digress. I really thought that that was going to be something that was upgraded this year, but Microsoft stuck to it. Maybe next year they'll do something a little different.
Yeah, I think they'll probably change it up if they review like what everybody did.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, and we don't want to talk about it now, but E3's future is, you know, with all these other... developers just, or publishers just creating their own show that isn't actually really a part of E3 anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It might be the future where E3 doesn't really exist. So.
That's possible. And I've been listening to the Giant Bombcast. They're the only podcast that I listen to that has had new episodes this week, unless my app isn't updating right. So I've been listening to them and their interviews they're doing, and their description of the show floor is it sounds kind of eerie. It sounds like there's a lot more space. There's a lot more empty space. They had some cool things to say. They described the experience of the Nintendo booth, and it sounds just absolutely magical, what Nintendo did with their Zelda-themed booth. So that would have been cool to see in person. But anyway, yeah, overall it does sound like, you know, missing major players like Activision and EA makes the whole place feel a little emptier, a little weird. I think it was Dan Reichert from the show said he kind of finished walking past all the major booths and he was looking around thinking, I think I missed a hallway, because in his experience going to EA, he just knew there was a lot more. To E3, he knew there was a lot more, and so he was just surprised by that. And that seems to be the overall vibe from E3, not EA, from E3 this year. Is that it's a little bit smaller in terms of attendance, but certainly wasn't smaller in terms of announcements. So speaking of which, why don't you give me an idea of some of the things that were announced, I think it's going to have to be things that were brand new, but maybe there's something that you already knew about that for some reason your hype level was, you know, amped up because of a trailer or info about it. So give me a quick rundown of the things, whether it's games or technology, that you are most hyped for, and then maybe one thing that you are the least hyped for.
All right. And I've actually, anybody who's follows my opinions and posts and stuff like this, they're probably wondering why has Derek, even though he's been talking about Sony over and over, has not talked about a certain something that happened at Sony's conference. This was probably... I want to say it was tied with God of War and probably Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more important to me.
Before you say the name of the game, walk us through what the trailer experience was like for you.
Exactly. So, all right. So, I like horror games, but I'm not, like, a big horror fan as far as... I definitely don't like games like Outlast and stuff like that. So... Sony went into their conference, and we all knew VR was going to be a part of it. So the very first thing they did is they showed off a VR trailer for a horror game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game that had been shown off like as a tech demo before. And it's so they the were kitchen. Shown off. Yeah, so they were showing off, I think it was, they said on the intro, it said Before the Kitchen.
Before the Kitchen, right. So it looked like it was going to be some kind of full VR game version of The Kitchen. That's what I thought of this horror game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we start watching it, and it's really freaking creepy. Like, everything's dark,
yep.
You're in this creepy house, and all you have is this little flashlight, you can barely see, you're in first-person perspective. And as I'm watching it, I'm going, it's Resident Evil. It's Resident
no
Evil.
Way, you weren't like, saying that.
Yes, I was. And I was like, please be Resident Evil. Because I knew there was rumors that Resident Evil was going to be a VR game. And I was like, please be Resident Evil. Please be Resident Evil. And so they kept showing it. They kept showing it. And I was like, oh, God, this looks so good. But there's no gun. Right. You know, it's not a third person perspective.
Not yet. This is all the VR version. There's going to be a non-VR version, too. So who knows?
So... basically, at the end of the demo or whatever it was, the trailer, the number 7 flashes up, VII, basically.
Yep.
And then, after it flashes up right away, it puts Resident Evil, and part of the evil was the 7.
Was VII, and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so my reaction was, oh, you know, like, so much excitement. And then they flash that, I believe, and I could be off on the date because I haven't checked in a little while, that it's coming out, like, January 28th. So that trailer right there, I everybody knows that, again, assuming I have a lot of listeners, people that listen to the show, everybody knows that I've pre-ordered VR, but I'm still on, like, do I cancel it or do I keep paying it off?
So did this help you make the decision right here?
Yeah, it's done. It is done.
Okay, got it.
Now, I've done some research on this game because there are some concerns because, again, I don't like Outlast experiences. I don't want to play a horror game where basically all it is a bunch of, this is scary, it's happening, and you got to run away from it because you can't defend yourself. Like, what I love about Resident Evil is even though I hate puzzles, I like Resident Evil puzzles, I like their creepy settings, and I like to have a gun. And I like, this is a big part, third-person perspective.
Yeah.
I like to see my character.
Yep.
So this being first-person really scared me. So I went and, you know, had a conversation with Brian Pelfrey, one of our listeners.
Yeah, he's a huge Resident Evil fan.
Yeah. You know what? Brian and I think we're twins, man. We freaking love and geek out on the same
except
stuff.
Except Brian's super nice. That's the only difference.
I'm super cool. Brian's super meh. but we're twins. So anyways,
this is a good test of whether or not Brian actually listens to all of our shows. We'll find out if he listens.
Yeah, he'll be like, Derek just said I was mad. So I did some research, again, guided by Brian, and I watched some interviews, and it gave me a little bit of peace. First of all, they said the demo that they released, because they also released a demo at E3. They're like, you can download it now, as soon as they showed off the trailer.
That was really smart,
so I downloaded
it. I love that.
Yeah. I downloaded it, I waited until I got off work, I came straight home, that was the first thing I did. And it only took me like 20-25 minutes to get through, it's not very long. But anyways, they talk about the demo because they knew people were concerned about it, and they're like, look, first of all, this is not part of the game. It's separate. Second thing is you'll notice that there's no guns or anything like that. Resident Evil 7 will have guns. It will be first person. It will not be third person. They have made that decision. Okay. So it is going to be first person, but I'm open to it as long as I got my damn gun. and also, it's because that demo is not part of it, it's going to be something completely separate and different. So it's still a complete mystery on what exactly it is. But what the demo successfully did is it sent a message to all longtime Resident Evil fans that Resident Evil is back. They've been listening.
Totally.
They understand you want horror. They understand that you want survival. They understand that you want everything that was Resident Evil back.
Yep.
And so I'm really, really hyped. I would say, I won't say it's the game of the show for me, but I would say my hype level for it is pretty close to being the game of the show.
Okay.
God of War would be another one I'm not going to talk about anymore. Days Gone.
Yeah.
Gears of War 4, I'm really excited
about.
That
was a cool trailer, cool gameplay clip they showed.
I feel like Gears of War is the same thing. Like, they're like, hey, Gears of War, the original one was a little bit more darker and horrier. And
horrier?
Yeah, I was going to say that came out totally wrong.
No, you hit it. That's correct. Horrier.
I did not hit the horrier. But, yeah, that was a sexual joke.
No, we're way off the rails. Keep going.
Yeah. So, and then Gears 2 and 3 kind of went for the bigger, you know, like, set pieces and story and emotions. And even though I find Gears stories to be kind of blah when it comes to trying to force an emotion.
Mm.
But anyways, Gears of War 4 feels like it's kind of, again, gets it. It's like, look, let's kind of reboot it a little bit. Let's bring in some new characters that have ties to the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man.
There's a cool closing part of that Gears section, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they walked into that cabin. Really, that was cool. That was very cool.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that game.
And Spider-Man.
And there's many more. I mean,
yeah.
I watched everything about South Park, the new one, and was dying laughing. First of all, Trey and Matt just crack me up. They're just funny. Nothing's off boundaries. They're not politically correct at all, and they just come out and say what they want to say, do what they want to do, and I really appreciate them for that. And the new trailer, I already pre-ordered the game. I was like, it was pretty cool. I didn't know this until Dan Phillips posted about it. If you pre-order the game digitally, you get an immediate copy of Stick of the Truth.
Oh, I didn't know
on
that.
Either the PS4 or the Xbox
One.
That's
a pretty good deal.
Whatever you pre-order it on.
And can we just admire the clever use of their subtitle, the fractured but whole. That's brilliant, because it's got this kind of like deep meaning behind it when you look at those words as three separate words. But when you combine it into being two words, it's a South Park stupid joke. It's hilarious. And I love it.
Yeah. So I was really hyped about that game to the point where I was like, I enjoyed Stick of Truth. Some of the stuff went a little too far where I was like, Not only are you grossing me out, but I'm like, I feel like maybe I'm not a Christian anymore when I'm playing this game. I'm losing my Christianity. But I was just so blown away by their whole, even though the presentation was long, they were so entertaining that I was not upset they were going on for so long. So those are some of the things I'm most hyped about. VR is a definite day one, unless for some reason I can't afford it. Batman VR, while when I watched the it's not even really a trailer, it was just kind of like, hey, Rocksteady is working on a VR game. I was like, this was my immediate reaction. I even said it. I was like, trash.
Oh, man.
Even with Rocksteady's name on it.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to Kind of Funny, and two of the people that played the demo or whatever it was for Batman VR, mm-hmm. Greg Miller, and then somebody else did.
Was it Tim Geddes that played it?
Yeah, it was Tim.
Yeah.
Said that it was one of their game of the shows.
That's cool.
Like, they really liked it, because I guess it's a mystery game, and so you're in a first-person perspective as Batman, and you get to explore his mansion, you get to explore the Batcave, but you also get to solve puzzles, mm-hmm. and you're trying to solve, like, I think it's a murder.
Okay.
So it actually sounds quite, like, it's a good way to use
the VR
tech. VR,
or were they talking about Telltale's game? I thought they were talking about Telltale's game. I only listened to that one pieces. Okay.
No, I think it's VR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Notably absent from your list, and I understand why, because we're talking about most hyped games, but are games that I know you're probably going to play this fall, like Titanfall 2 or Watch Dogs 2. Would you say that it's not because you're not hyped for those, but it's because you now have, you know, re-energized hype for these other ones, or, you know, newly discovered hype?
Well, I mean,
for these other
the way I work is once you announce a game, well, let me put it this way. Once I play a game, and Resident Evil is obviously the exception to the rule here, once I play your franchise, I no longer get hyped like, I no longer get super excited to watch your trailers or your press conferences or anything about your sequels.
Unless it's like, something what? Totally new, like new God of War, for example.
Exactly. Okay. That's why God of War is a surprise to me. It's okay. Because
makes sense.
I know I would have bought it anyway. Like, even if they came out and they were just like, hey, it's God of War 3, but we're going to call it God of War 4 because it's on the PS4, but it's the same exact game, basically. Mm. I would have still bought it and been like, I like God of War. Mm. But I wouldn't have been hyped. I wouldn't have talked about it. I'd have been like, yeah, God of War looked all right. Yeah. But the fact that they made such a dramatic change, it felt like a new IP.
Do you think at some point, though, he'll find a reason to, at some point, yell, Athena! I feel like that needs to be in every game.
I really hope he does. And same thing with Horizon. Like, there was no... I have not talked about Horizon except on this podcast, but it wasn't even in a good way. There's been no hype for me from Horizon. Why? I've seen it.
Yeah.
I already know I'm going to play it. You know I already what? Know I'm going to buy it. Yeah. I'm not, yeah. I don't need to see it anymore. Yeah. And so Resident Evil 7 is the exception. Well, A, I've never seen it, but the way they did it, they were like, you don't know this is Resident Evil.
That was clever.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was just another...
very clever.
It was another... a feather in the cap of Sony for their presentation. It was just really good.
Exactly.
It was really
good.
Wasn't
really
that their second? No, that wasn't their second. That was farther into the show. Never mind. That wasn't their second.
So, I'm real excited about VR now, whereas before I was like, dude, are you just buying this because it's new hardware and you're going to hate yourself for this?
Well, you will.
I really
but...
don't think... I probably will, but I mean, with Resident Evil... Gran Turismo and the Batman VR game, I feel, and there's others, but I feel more confident that I'm not just buying some tech demo.
And when you're
I'm actually going to get AAA game experiences that are, and I'm hoping, since I haven't obviously played it, better with VR.
Well, when you're, you will, though, you will hate yourself, not because it's not going to be good. I think VR is probably going to have some great experiences there, but when your family is weeping and begging you to spend time with them and pay attention to them and you've got your headset on, that's when you'll start to hate yourself.
No, because I'll be so into Resident Evil, I won't even know that they already packed
You will have a new family in your VR. Your VR family. That'll be fine.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could buy The Sims on VR or something.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so I've got some games I'm hyped for, too. We already talked about God of War to a large extent. That was my favorite game of the entire show. Just that trailer right there and the excitement I have for that. That's my game of the show. Horizon was really high up there, but it was already my game of the show last year. So kind of like what you said, Horizon is at the very top of, for me personally, one of the very top of my list in terms of what I can't wait to play. But God of War, since it caught me off guard and it's such a new take on a franchise I already like, I wouldn't say I love, but I really like the God of War franchise. Now I'm incredibly excited to see what's going on with this new game. So right now I'm the most hyped for that because of something different. Horizon is on that list too, though, because it does look like kind of the atmosphere of a Far Cry Primal, which is one of my favorite games so far this year. But the gameplay reminds me of a combination of everything from Shadows of Mordor to maybe not Assassin's Creed, but Shadows of Mordor comes to mind. Maybe even a third-person type Far Cry. It has that look to it where you're out in the open and can go do whatever you want. And, man, that looks amazing. Last Guardian looks really cool. I have a feeling it's going to be very emotional.
I thought that looked like trash. My only. I'm not even trying to be cool.
Well, was it the cel shaded anime look to the character that didn't jump out at you?
It just looks so boring. But maybe it's just I don't like those Eco and Shadow of Colossus.
And that's the thing.
Games.
Like, I didn't love Eco. I thought it was solid, even though it was glitchy for me. At least I thought it was kind of hiccupy. But I thought Shadows of the Colossus was just a masterpiece of a game, personally. I really loved that one. So that's why Last Guardian it's a very unique type of game experience, and I'm looking forward to it.
You'll probably find this humorous, but as I'm bashing Last Guardian as being trash, it's actually my background for my PS4.
Oh, yeah.
It's my theme.
Yeah, because it's...
it was a nice little theme, so...
It's been pre-ordered by someone who you're game sharing with, and I'm going to report you both.
Sony in Colorado.
I'm also pumped for Mafia 3. I listened to the guys on the Bombcast talk about their experience with the gameplay, and it sounds like a blast. It sounds Exactly like the other two Mafia games in some respects, where you're taking over different areas. You know what they compared it to? They compared it a little bit to something like Mercenaries, where you can go and take over different levels of leaders from these different areas. And if you remember Mercenaries, each leader was assigned like a playing card. So if they were like a jack, they were like a lieutenant, and maybe a king was more of a captain or a general. So, and I really thought that was cool. And the ace was like, you know, the top dog. And it sounds like they have a similar type system in Mafia 3 where you can take over certain areas. Like maybe one area is run by, you know, some pimp who's super violent and is controlling it. And you got to go in and take out all his guys and him. And so it just sounds really cool. I like that gang warfare. The time frame, like the historical timing looks really cool, as well as the environment of New Orleans just looks awesome. So Mafia 3 is really high up there. I don't 100% know what ReCore is. I've seen a number of different articles on it, everything from people speculating it's going to be like Knack, you know, that kind of lower quality platformer, all the way up to, I've seen one article that said, you know, ReCore is, you know, Microsoft finally found their Metroid, is basically what they called it. So if it's somewhere in between there, I'm sure it'll be fine. But ReCore, I'm very curious about.
I think it's going to be fun, but it is definitely a mystery. I actually had bought a bunch of Microsoft currency to pre-order games, and that was one of them I was considering because I had already pre-ordered two games.
It comes out in August, I think, right?
September, early September.
September, okay.
Yeah, so I pre-ordered South Park, and I had pre-ordered Horizon 3 and Forza Horizon 3, which was awesome to see at the show. And I was like, oh, I got $40 left. Maybe I should just get ReCore.
Yeah.
And
isn't it
$40? Do it.
I think it's $40.
Yeah, it's $40.
Yeah, that's why
I'm
confused.
And I didn't do it because I was like, I just don't know what it is and I don't want to regret it. So I ended up going ahead and getting Titanfall.
Yeah, if it's
going
to be $40 and there's a lot of speculation about what it's actually going to be like, I'm curious about it. I think I will end up getting it because the setting, and it kind of almost looks like Rey from Star Wars Episode 7 from this past year. You know, that setting in the desert where she's going around collecting tech. It kind of reminded me of that type of character. So we'll see if it turns out to be good. I'm optimistic about
it. I think it will be fun, but I'll wait till it gets closer. And it will definitely be one of those games whereas I ignore most games that I know I'm going to buy, like Watch Dogs 2, I already pre-ordered. I'm not going to watch anything on it.
Yeah.
I didn't
watch anything on it
at E3.
You're just going to play
exactly. But ReCore is not one of those.
You're
like,
yes, it's a new IP,
but I'm going to study it and try to figure out if it's
another one from Microsoft I'm excited about is Sea of Thieves, and we've already got a conversation going with people in our group about
super
how we're
cool.
going to all team up and do some pirating together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I
think it'll be a great game.
I really want to play that one. I do like Rare. I think they've got a great sense of humor with their games.
Do we know when that's coming out? They didn't announce that, did they?
No, and we asked that in that thread, in that conversation, and I think the general consensus is they said this year, but I don't think anyone knows of a specific release date. So,
well, if they said this year, why wouldn't they tell us? Yeah. I don't understand that. It's not like we have a lot of this year left, so that makes me feel like, hey, we're trying to do it this year, but really it's going to come out 2017.
Yeah, they gave it a release window. Let's see here. This is according to Eurogamer. The news came out during E3. You know what? It's looking like a February game. Looks like February.
I think it's going to be 2017.
Yeah, they're saying February.
By the way, February is, or not February, but January and February are already loaded.
They're huge.
Like, if you go look,
I know.
It's huge.
I know, and it was big this year, but it looks like next year it's even going to be crazier. So, and then let me give you two more real quick. I am very excited about Inside because I did like the game Limbo quite a bit, and Inside's been, I think, too long coming for the type of game that it is. I think it's been too long for that game, but it is coming out this month, I believe. It comes out at the end of June, so I'm looking forward.
No, I think it's July.
Or is it July?
I'm pretty sure it's July.
All right, well, it's coming this summer. I know that.
It's soon.
Yeah, it's this summer. But Inside is one that it took too long to come out. It was announced a few years ago, so it should have come out sooner, but I've heard amazing things about people who, you know, the gameplay responses of people who have been able to play it this past week. So Inside is definitely one that I'm excited about. And last one is State of Decay 2, and that is if they really do deliver on the multiplayer side of things with State of Decay,
they will.
Then that's going to be fun. I thought State of Decay was a solid, if not flawed, open world zombie game. They really made you value your resources, and you know, characters were permadeath characters. You can, after they die, you go and pick up their stuff, but then they're gone. All the abilities and, you know, things that you've built up, their stats are gone. So I liked that about it. It gave some weight to each death as opposed to just respawning. So I liked that a lot. So we'll see how that carries over.
Yeah, it's one of them. I didn't talk about it, but it's one of them that I'm excited for because of the four-player co-op. I think it'll give you that Dying Light experience, but put more of a emphasis on, like you said, the survival part of it. Mm-hmm. And causing every death to really matter to you and your group of friends playing.
Well, and in Dying Light, a lot of that is you coming into a situation that's already set up. And in State of Decay, a lot of that has to do with you setting up your defenses and your forts and your, you know, you're the one who barricades a house or a school or whatever. So I'm looking forward to that one too. So there's a lot of things to be hyped for. I don't know about the rest of you listening, but if there are things that you're excited about, everything from Final Fantasy 15, maybe you're a big fan of Last Guardian, maybe it's all about Microsoft and you can't wait for Gears or ReCore, I want to hear about it. So let us know in the comments of this post about this this episode. Let us know what you're most hyped for. But let's go ahead and end in a way that we always love to end, and that is on a super negative note.
Oh, yeah. But let me, before we transition, one last thing, because we didn't talk about it a lot. Zelda was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. We got to give Nintendo some love.
I got to give Nintendo some love. Yeah. I didn't watch their Direct because it bored me, but I did go back and watch as much as I could.
I went back because I couldn't watch it live, but I went back and watched it that evening, and I skipped through a ton of it because there was a ton of talking. But it does look amazing. Zelda looks great.
It's what, Zelda Breath of Wind or something?
Breath
like
of the
that?
Wild.
What's Breath of the Wind?
Breath of the Wind.
At least I get like the W and stuff like that.
That's a cool name. The aesthetics are absolutely amazing. It looks like they're really embracing the open world nature of things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I thought they were just going to put us in an open world, but still be Zelda. Yeah. Like, hey, you have to go here.
You know what it
makes
me want
to
do? It makes me want to play the last two Zeldas that I've missed, and that is the Skyward Sword, which I never played, and I wish there was a way to play it without the control schemes the way it is. But I might try that at some point. And
a high def remake's probably coming soon.
I hope so. And then also the 3DS one, the Link Between Worlds. I never did play that, and I want to go back and I kind of want to go back and play the last couple of Zeldas just to get myself amped up for that again. And whether I'm going to buy an NX, which I think I might end up doing, depending on what it is.
I plan to, yeah.
Whether it means I jump on the James Teague train and buy a Wii U, like he just got a Wii U. Who knows? One of those ways I'm going to want to play this new Zelda. So it definitely gave me a little bit of that Zelda itch. Reminds me of how much that franchise has meant to me and how much I love it. So
yeah, he got the Wii U and he had already bought Zelda Twilight Princess for $32. So he's got a Zelda game going on. Nice. Because he, like me, had not experienced a lot of Zelda.
And you beat that one, right? Didn't you say you were going to beat it by now?
No.
Yeah, I know you did. Oh, right. Okay.
I know. Thanks. Thanks. Were you driving that bus?
I was actually. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Didn't slow down at all. Yeah.
I'm trying to stop talking about Zelda on here so people leave me alone. No, I'm not going to play A Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time. I've given up on giving a crap about that.
Oh my word! You're not going to finish them this year. You made an agreement before God and men that you would complete those games.
God is a forgiving God, so he let that go.
And you don't care what men think. So
he actually sent me an email saying, do not play that trash garbage junk.
Was it god@gmail.com? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's @heaven.com.
At heaven. Yeah. Oh, makes sense. I don't know how to get that domain. That's impressive. Hey, so the last thing I was going to say about Nintendo, my kids and I, my two older boys particularly, and I are very excited about the new Pokemon. So don't tell them this, but they're both my older son's 2DS system has tanked. There's something wrong with the internal system and it won't power up. So he's going to be getting himself a new little 3DS system, and then his younger brother's
going to get
2DS.
The new 3DS, or are you just going to go with like an old version?
I haven't decided yet. I might actually let him decide if he wants to take my 3DS XL and then I'll get a new 3DS, or if he just wants, you know, to chip in and buy a brand new one for himself. It depends on how he wants to do it.
Yeah, I think you can get like the new 3DS XL, like even the Zelda one, at GameStop's like $175, and that's really, really nice.
Yeah, and then my my 6-year-old, he's gonna get one of the 2DSs, which is down to $80. Comes with Mario Kart, so we'll probably get down for him. So that we are excited about Pokemon. It's gonna be one of the first times that I've been able to, you know, get a new Pokemon game with my boys, and then the three of us will all play it together and swap and trade. So that will be an interesting experience. That'll be fun. They're gonna dominate me because. Yeah, I'm not very good compared to... They already kill me when they play the old games with me, but... Anyway, I digress again. This is the second time. But there are some things to be excited about for this year if you're a Nintendo fan, although I do think there's more to be excited about if you're a Microsoft fan, and I think there's even more to be excited about if you're a Sony fan. But I think...
Sony.
Without sounding too, you know, too pie in the sky, everyone wins, I do think it was a good E3 for most video game fans in general. I really do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Ubisoft. So like while their shows sucked, had a lot of great games. Yep. Sony, Microsoft, yeah.
And I hope that next year, Bethesda. Maybe they'll show it before, but I hope that next year is a huge Assassin's Creed is back reveal for Ubisoft. That'll be cool. All right,
shout out to Skyrim Remastered. Awesome.
Yeah, people are excited about that too. Yeah, Bethesda had a big announcement there. All right, so like I said earlier, before we didn't actually do this, I want to close out with our negative thoughts. What trends are going on right now that you saw at E3 that are concerning you? And I'll go first, because I know what yours is going to be, and we're going to close with your thoughts. So I won't steal your thunder. But the one that kind of concerns me, and I kind of gave you a hard time about it earlier, is VR. And here's the thing about VR. I have no doubt that it's a cool experience. Everything I've heard is that the tech is finally here. Back in the 80s, it wasn't there, but the idea of it was cool. Now, it sounds like the tech has finally caught up and it's ready to deliver. And that's awesome. And I'm very excited for what the tech is. What I'm not excited about is, and I've talked about this before, but as a dad, as a husband, I have to make these decisions about how to spend my time and how to shift my focus from, you know, family to work to then my own time to do my own thing. VR is kind of a non-starter right now in my life. I just can't see myself putting on a mask and disappearing like that. When I'm playing a game on a screen, if I've got family in the vicinity, I can pause for the most part, unless it's online. But even then, I can still interact with people. I can kind of look at them in between things. Like if it's Rocket League, if there's a goal, I can, you know, I've got a few seconds there. I can actually interact with them. With a VR mask, what am I going to do? Take the mask off to interact with somebody? With the sound pumping in my ears and the visuals inescapable. So to me, VR is something that part of me is excited for the tech. Most of me is concerned that if too much of the industry shifts that way, I'm going to be left behind because I just don't see myself
playing VR. I don't think it'll shift that way. I think a couple things. While I understand your concern and I fully agree with it, my concern not only is shutting people out, but also just... It kind of creeps me out that people can walk in the room and scare the crap out of me and me not know.
Yeah.
So those are major concerns for me. But my plans for VR, there's a couple plans. If I get this, and I do plan on continuing to put money down towards it, is buying games that, besides Resident Evil 7, that my kids can play using it. Now, of course, I know people are going to be like, oh no, their eyes. I'm not going to let them play it for a long time, but I'm going to at least let them check it out. Like,
you want
them
to experience it?
Yeah, Eli, check out Gran Turismo. And then he'll probably be like, this is the coolest thing, and tell his friends at school, and then never use it again. But the other thing is I do a lot of my gaming when they're in bed. When my wife's watching Game of Thrones or something like that. So that's not a major issue for me because I still could carve out time to do it. Mm. And I also think while I'll play it, I don't think it's going to be my main, like, device that I go to. I think it'll be something that, like, when I'm in the mood, I'll use it. Or if I'm real excited about how this game, this certain game's using the VR tech, then I might, you know, play that one game. But overall, I think my main... gaming time will still be playing on my PS4 and my Xbox One how I play now.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair.
So I don't think that's going to be a major issue for me personally.
Yeah.
And like I said, I understand your concern, and I wouldn't want to pay $400 or $500 if I only think I'm going to play it 30 minutes a day. I don't think I'll play it just 30 minutes. I think I'll get my money. That's
the most I think I would play. Because my wife and I are both night owls. And so when the kids go to bed, we both hang out. We usually watch some stuff together. Sometimes we even play a game together or at least talk, get some food. That's our time. And then by the time she goes to bed, there's plenty of times when she's sitting on the couch. And we've already hung out together for a while. We've done a lot of interactions. So just so you people don't think that I am ignoring her and she's doing one thing, I'm doing another. We're done hanging out, and then I'll turn on a game and play. But a lot of times, she'll stick around. She has no interest in watching me play, but she just likes to sit nearby. And if she sees something on Facebook or if she's watching something, she can kind of lean over and we can chat for a minute. There's still a little bit of a connection there. That's what our evenings have become now, where even though I am now being entertained by this, like Witcher 3 or playing Mirror's Edge or even playing a game of Rocket League, that's what I'm doing. She's not participating. We're still having some interaction for the rest of the evening. And so that's just, to me, I don't even see 30 minutes, let alone more than that, a night of time where she's gone and I can finally put the mask on and dive in.
That's a huge difference between you and me is my wife, she works full time like me. Now, I force myself to, let me put it this way. We both get up around the same time, but I get to go into work a little bit later because I take my kids to the school bus, and so I have to wait for that and all that. But she usually goes to bed, like she settles down, she's done for the night, no later than 10 o'clock. But it's usually, starts the whole drifting off at around 9. Gotcha. So since I stay up to about 11:30, that gives me from 9, generally, again, there's always going to be variables and variations, but generally I get from 9 to about 11:30 by myself every night.
Gotcha.
So that's why I think this will work for me. But again, we'll see. I don't know. There are still concerns on my part. Like I said, I don't like the whole, what if I'm playing Resident Evil 7? I'm already going to be on edge. Like, even when I was playing the demo, I was like, my heart was like beating. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. You know, if I'm playing that type of game and somebody walks in the room and my wife is definitely the type that's like, if she can embarrass me or make me feel like an idiot, she'll do it.
That's not unique to her, though. I think most spouses are like, oh, opportunity. Yeah.
And I definitely think she would do something to try to freak me out where I'd probably actually end up breaking my VR. Like flying onto the hard ground and smashing the...
All right, well, we've got to get this thing wrapped up. Why don't you close us out with your biggest concern? But I know it came out of E3 this year, and it's been a conversation building up to E3. So, share with us before we close out your biggest concern.
Some of our listeners are going to know before I even say it. It's definitely Scorpio. I thought Microsoft was a little strange in that they were like, "Oh, first let's show you our S version," which is pretty cool. You know, it's like
it's not bad.
It's a 40% smaller Xbox One with
2 terabyte.
Yeah, with 4K. Well, it's actually 500, 1 and 2, so you can get the 500 for $300, which is an outstanding deal. I don't, unless you're completely a Sony pony, and I know people are going to get offended by this, I just don't understand how people have not bought an Xbox One.
That's a great deal. It's just, $300, you're on board with this nice, sleek new system. Go for it. You can do it.
So, and they usually attach like 2 or 3 games with that $300 price point. But anyway, so they're releasing a new one, and it's smaller. It's prettier, and it has 4K ability, HDR input. It's general. You pay $400, you get 2 terabytes, which is awesome. So there's a lot of positives to it.
Okay.
So it kind of felt like what
that's
I
how they opened
Sony,
the show, right? That was early in
the
show.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how I felt like what Sony's Neo was going to be. It was going to be like a little bit of an upgrade. With 4K ability, and that was it. So I felt like the S was kind of matching it. Now at the end of the show, they then do this whole trailer, and the way they did it was really cool.
It was.
I thought that was cool.
Actual like technical developing
hardware
developers.
About how powerful.
Yep.
The new, basically, it's revealed Scorpio.
It was people who are excited about the tech and were explaining why it's so great. And I thought that was smart. I thought that was very smart.
So it basically is a really, really, really powerful PC type tech.
Right.
And it's coming out. Yeah, and it's coming out. in late 2017. Now, that's a positive. I was getting nervous. I'm like, is this coming out, like, in 6 months or something like this? Like, what are they doing? But I just thought it was just a bad idea to announce it. I understand the whole Microsoft doesn't want to piss people off, so they're trying to be more transparent. But I felt like this is something you can save for later. Because you just announced another system. We're also only, we're a little less than 3 years into this life cycle. Right. So this is where my concern comes in. So, and again, we'll try to wrap up the show, but this is my major concern. We are less than 3 years into this life cycle of the PS4 and Xbox One, and we're already talking about a PlayStation Neo, an Xbox S, which that one's okay. Even the Neo's kind of okay, even though it's a little bit of an upgrade.
Just so you guys know, the Xbox One S is almost like if PS4 put out a slim version with a few upgrades and a sleeker look.
Yeah, that one's kind of normal. But it's the Scorpio that scared me, because it's like, oh, well, by the time these systems are 4 years old, which is not very long, most console life cycles go 6+ years. Yes, we've had, I think, one that went 5 years, but most of them go 6 or 7 years. And they're basically saying, while it's still going to be in the Xbox One family, they even ended with nobody gets left behind. That's BS.
If you think this
oh yes. If this system is as powerful as it really is, how are all your developers, forget just Microsoft exclusives, your third-party developers going to create games for the PS4/Neo, mm-hmm. PS4, Xbox One Scorpio, and Xbox One,
yeah.
PC, Wii, NX, U. I mean, how are they going to do this? Like, one of the things that consoles have always done is they've been like, look, we're competition, but we all have to communicate and make sure we're kind of close to each other. Because we've got a lot of third-party developers that need us to be close to each other.
Yeah.
Now it seems like Microsoft, in a desperate attempt to move past the failings of the Xbox One, which, by the way, I think you already said it earlier, is selling really well. It's just not selling good compared to the PS4.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, well, we're not moving on, we're moving on. And I just don't like that messaging. It's also really scary because it sounds like a $600-$700 console. I really don't see them coming out and saying, and by the way, you can get this one for $350.
Look what they've done with the Elite controller. They are not afraid of creating extremely high-end products and putting a high price point on it and knowing that the hardcore of the hardcore are going to get it. I don't know if that's what they're doing with this or not, because it certainly seemed to be in a prime spot they want their entire audience to be a part of.
Yeah, I think they're going to push to get you to upgrade, which everybody knows, all the listeners know, Derek's going to upgrade. Yes, that's not what I'm fighting against.
He is actually, he just came back from GameStop. He placed down $100 on it. He's ready to pre-order.
Wait, you got that Scorpio pre-order? No, Derek. Can you please go away?
As you're sliding money across the counter, you just hang on to this.
You just go ahead and put that in the drawer as soon as that becomes available.
Put a sticky note on it. Yeah.
But it's just concerning to me. I don't want to get into... And for people that are not understanding why I'm so concerned, Scorpio is just Microsoft. Do you think Sony's going to respond? Do you think Nintendo will respond? Do you think whoever else is going to try to get in the gaming business is going to respond? Heck yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And that's why I almost guarantee you why the NX was not talked about, is because they probably got word of what Scorpio was and was like, shit.
Yeah.
We cannot come out here and talk about how this system is barely an upgrade and try to charge you $450 or whatever they're going to charge you for it, when Microsoft's going to freaking drop a trailer that's talking about a system that completely blows it out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably going to have to go back to the drawing boards and figure out what they're going to do next. That doesn't mean they won't release the Neo. They probably will, but they're probably going to have the same type of system set up as Microsoft, which is buy our Neo, it's a little bit of an upgrade, and then in a year and a half, buy our Trinity. I don't know. I don't know. It's concerning. Well, I will say I don't want to upgrade every 2 years.
My only thought on it is that it's a new step for consoles. We usually, like you said, they usually come in waves and all three release within at least a year of each other. And things are changing. The NX is kind of shifting things around. The Wii U already did. And now it sounds like Microsoft is going to kind of throw a monkey wrench into the normal swing of things. And I'm going to do my best to remain optimistic until I hear otherwise. It sounds like they keep saying no one's going to get left behind. I don't think they'd be dumb enough to completely shut down Xbox One things as early as late 2017.
No, and that's what I said. But they're not going to shut it down, but they're not going to stick around as long as we'd like them to.
Yeah, and like, I kind of thought these are both going to be 7 or 8 year systems, and it seems like maybe that's not the case. But until that's official, until that's real, until we find out, you know, maybe this really truly is just a really high-end version of the Xbox One. Maybe that's all it is, and it runs super high res versions of all the things you can already play. If that's truly what it is, if it's like the Xbox Elite controller but it's for the console instead, then that's one thing, and I can fully accept it and appreciate those who want that, even though it's not really for me. If it really is moving on from the Xbox One as a console, it's going to be tough for me to come along, because I was already hesitant to get the Xbox One to start with. So yeah, we'll see how they phrase it, how they communicate it over the next several months. Maybe this is the last we'll hear of it for this year. We'll see. But it certainly is.
I think there'll be lots of questions. And I think they'll release some answers, you know, every once in a while. But I think they're going to go into quiet for a while, Focus on the S, and then they'll release information about Scorpio more next year.
All right. Well, it's a valid concern, but I come back to what you said earlier, and that is it was one of the best E3s in recent memory, and that's partially because, and a big part because, it had one of the best press conferences in Sony's that we've ever seen. It really did. So we want to hear what you guys thought about E3, so be sure that you continue to post, to comment, let us know in our Facebook group what you think, and don't forget to share this episode with hashtag Fathers of the Grind on Facebook, on Twitter. And I'll make sure to check those out, and I'll draw names for our next episode and let you know who won that copy of Paragon. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting
Derek
the show. And sorry, Derek. Emmanuel, if you're listening to this, can you get Derek a copy? Thanks. That'd be great. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?